Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 356, June 20th, 2018, CQ Field Day.
Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil. You're watching Ham Nation, and we welcome you. This is a show that is all about ham radio, the excitement, the emergencies, the fun, all of the things that amateur radio brings. And here we are to bring you some more of it every Wednesday night. I'm glad you're here. We have some incredible things going on tonight in this show, and you'll be surprised to see some things. You'll learn some things. Mainly, it's going to be from these very intelligent dudes. And one of them is out in Costa Mesa, California. Hi, Gordon West. How are you, buddy?
We're fine. We've been playing all week, getting prepared for Field Day. And you know, the magazines, Bob, have also been playing up Field Day, QST last month issue, as well as their current issue. Boy, the whole world is going to be watching. 40,000 USA hams will be on the air for Field Day. Back to you, Bob.
It'll be great, won't it? Yes, in 6 meters, I can't believe what's going to happen if 6 meters stays open. Oh, boy. Don Wilbanks from down in lower Mississippi. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing awesome. I'm looking forward to Field Day. I don't know that I'm going to get a chance to operate Field Day, but and I think you're probably going to talk about this in a little bit more depth. Our friend Ted Randall over at WTWW has a Field Day broadcast on the shortwave every year, and occasionally I will co-host that with him, but we'll hear more about that in a little bit. Of course, you can hear us right now, simulcast on 5085 and also on 15810. An email at wtww.us is always appreciated, especially signal reports and anything ham radio related. But I do have kind of a cool announcement. We have a new ham amongst the Ham Nation family, Dr. Tamitha Scove.
Hey!
Kilo Mike 6, Victor Charlie Oscar, KM6VCO, Dr. Tamitha Scove. She's going to be working on a better call sign to go along, a vanity to go along with the space weather woman theme. But right now, that's what she's got. Kilo Mike 6, Victor, Charlie, Oscar. She tested with Gordon. And, of course, she aced it like we had any doubt. Right, Bob?
Yeah. No question. Was there a question? Not about that.
No.
Oh, golly. That's great.
Yeah, there she is. KM6VCO. Back to you, Bob.
All right. George from Upper Mississippi. How are you doing down there? You okay?
I'm okay, Bob. Actually, I'm in Middle Mississippi here, right near the center of the state's where I will be for Field Day this year. And I've got antennas and radios and cables and rope, everything you could think of that you might possibly need for Field Day, except probably the thing I forgot. Is all scattered out in the shack right here. We're getting packed up and ready for our excellent Field Day. Hope the weather doesn't mess us up this year with the rain and all. I don't think cold weather will be a problem, as the heat index is going to be about 103 down here. So we'll be back to talk about Field Day a little bit more in the show here and a couple of tips.
Okay, that's great. Well, everybody's going to have fun. And for any of you listening and you don't have a receiver, you can look it up on the web SDR. And when you bring that up, you're going to see every frequency in the world. And just put in some more 40 meter, 20 meter, dial up some fun. 6 meters is all. So you want to do that. But one thing you want to do is dial WTWW. They're doing a really cool thing. They do it every year, but this year's a little special. Their transmitter is the normal transmitter that's on right now is 5085 kilohertz. And they have a whole raft of people on field day doing interviews of field day sites. Each of us will probably be calling in, but you'll hear from people all around the globe, actually, the way they go. But around 2 o'clock through 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock on this Saturday, dial up WTWW. Now, they're going to move, and they'll tell you when they do it and what are the frequencies, but they'll move around as the sun comes up and goes down. We need to talk about the gray line someday. But anyway, dial that up at 2 o'clock, and you'll hear some wonderful things going on from all kinds of field day sites. So check that out. And what you want to do is call in, and there's the number on the screen, 833-390-5085. And you can call in and talk to them, be on the air. And that'd be great to hear the listeners call in and give us reports around the globe. That'll be really good. Well, I got a couple of things here. First of all, I got some great pictures. Here's a couple of them. We're going to start looking into this next. This is the pine board, but it's built on aluminum chassis. And I've had a lot of requests about this, and I got something working in the works about this. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thing that Dan Peterson did. And here's his underneath. This is the bottom of it. And this is the pine board circuit. As we built it. And Dan is W7OIL. And boy, he's done a wonderful job. And we'll get into this, building it on a chassis. That's coming down the pike. So lots of things going on. But please take a picture of your pine board, working or not. If you're in the middle of it, that's okay. Send along what you have. And let me see your project. And while we're at it, you want to send some of the pictures of your shack, of your club, anything amateur radio related, please send them to us. It's so important that we have your information and your pictures and all of that. You can send the pine board things to me, just my call at ARRL, and that works well, ARRL.net, and I'll look forward to getting those. I have to tell you that this year I did something I've never done in a decade or more. At Dayton, I finally got into the flea market. Can you believe that? And let me show you what happened. This was pretty cool. Our wonderful, wonderful friends that you all know and love, there they are. First of all, we got Marty and his mother came by. Come on here. Marty is, he's just a wonderful, wonderful kid. He's great. It's KC1CWF. That's chicken with fries.
And he's also the current reigning Young Ham of the Year until we announce a new one in August. So, yeah, he's the Young Ham of the Year.
He is, and we're so proud of him. He helped us a lot during Dayton hooking things up. I mean, we wouldn't have been able to be on the air Wednesday night if it wouldn't have been for those two guys on the outside. The other guy is our net control, and it's just so wonderful to have these guys help us. Now, who is the lady? That is the Ham of the Year coming up, Young Ham of the Year's mother, because he can't drive yet. But, oh, golly, that's Marty's mom. She's a great, great person. We really appreciate. But that's Steve, and you probably work him on 40 or 80 or wherever the ionosphere takes us. So they came by on Sunday, and we were talking about going out in the flea market. And I said, I just never can get out there. And they said, well, let's go. So they drug me away from the booth. I told our whole team, I'm leaving. And I bought something. What did I buy? A fan. And you're going to go, a big deal. Well, you can always use a fan. The problem is most of these fans are very noisy. I mean, big time noisy. And I asked the gentleman, he had a couple of them there. I said, is it noisy? No, not at all. I said, you're sure? Yeah, absolutely. Guaranteed. Well, okay. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to plug this thing in. It's 12 volts. You want to make sure you get a 12 volter. And listen to the noise. I mean, it's ridiculous. Blowing papers all over. But
that's not a whisper fan. Nope.
What I do with this, George? Well, here's what I did. I put a little switch on the top and a resistor, and I got rid of the noise. So come on here. That worked really good. And yep. You can hear how quiet it is. So then what the next question you're going to say is, well, yeah, but it probably doesn't blow much air. Well, I'm going to prove to you that there's not much difference. There is the, I think you can see that all cooking there. You can see how that goes on low. Now we're going to put it on high. It's not much different. So we'll leave it on low. And it works great. A lot of air coming out of there. Well, okay. How do you do that? Like, what did I do? Now, if you were not like me, a schooled engineer, you're going to get out your slide rule and you're going to figure out what resistor it's going to take to do this. And good old Gene comes to the scene. There's what I did right there. This is the circuit that we did with the fan. And in one position, the 12 volts feeds a motor direct. The other way, the resistors in series. Not a big deal. Well, how do you figure out the resistor? Aha. Well, here's my sidekick that I've had for so many years. I don't know how old this thing is. But if you don't have one of these, look on eBay and get it. This is a most amazing tool. And you can see this has capacitors and has resistors. And all you got to do is take the two clip leads, and I clip those across the switch as the diagram showed. And I just started cranking the dial. And that's how I determined that the resistor was going to be 200 and ended up at 250 ohms. And then I started playing with even more. And you can figure out where you're at, what speed you want, just by cranking that around. And I ended up with a 5-watt. You don't need that, but it is. But what I ended up with totally is what you saw there was a 25 ohm, but it works just great, and it's easy to do. The other side of that are capacitors, and I have to tell you that there are many of my projects that if I didn't have this box, they wouldn't have gotten done. It really has helped me throughout my whole career. This box is probably 30, 40 years old. Heathkit made a series of them. This is their capacitor substitution box. They made a resistor substitution box. Look them up on eBay. Buy these things. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And there's the final deal for you. And it's really simple, but it makes a fan usable, because if that thing was at full speed, you're not going to be able to use it in the shack very much because it's too darn noisy. So there you are. As crazy it was, I only have one camera in this place, so I had to kind of mess it around, but you got the idea. So, hey, have fun doing it, and we'll hear some good reports from some of you, I'm sure. Gordo, I bet you have a lot of fans, both the type that really like what you do and really like you, but you have fans on your equipment like crazy, I bet. And I bet you got some of them that's real quiet and some of them that's real noisy, right? Gordon West.
Absolutely right. Although I used Ohm's Law to figure it out. You're right, that resistor substitution box. Wow, that's great. Well, Bob, we had a great time this past week working your new parametric receive system that we talked about last week. And I want to show all of our viewers, and for those listeners, we're showing up the audio splitter coming out of the back of the unit that I developed. And the reason that it's so important for field day is on field day, many times you'll have the operators with their headset on, and they'll have a boom microphone, which we're going to be using several of these on a lot of different equipment for field day. But as soon as they plug in, they mute the audio. So those that are wanting to look over your shoulder and see who you're working and get the excitement of field day activity, they don't hear squat other than, oh, yeah, John, yeah, all right, 5 and 9, delta micro, you know, that routine. So I encourage all of you is arm yourself for field day with a whole bunch of splitters. One side can go to the headset. The other side should go to an external speaker, and Bob has an amplified one, too big for me to hold up here, but it works great. And during our initial test this past week, the RF did not get into the speaker, I'm very happy to say. Field day is an important operating event for 2 days. Some of you are setting up on Friday, and it's our opportunity to show ourselves off to the general public. So make sure that you don't have operators with headsets on and all you hear is one side of the conversation. Put some real spunk into the operation by having the speaker playing back who that operator is working. Won't disturb the operator, and it'll really give everybody walking around field day looking over the operator's shoulder a big kick on the excitement. Every field day should have a safety officer. And if that safety officer has the training, we encourage them to bring all of their equipment, such as this valve mask for CPR or just for resuscitation. In my past career as an ambulance medic, I many times would be using stuff like this. So you never know what's going to happen at field day when it comes to medical. And to keep ourselves safe around medical, you don't have to wear this the whole time at field day. That's the helmet. But by golly, if you're working on the deck and you've got someone up above you that's doing any kind of tower work or just putting up a tower, for heaven's sake, get a hard hat on. Or if not even a hard hat, get a baseball cap. However, they do have to either be an ICOM America cap or, of course, DX Engineering, because these two organizations are our sponsors. They're the ones that keep us on the air. Now, for field day, medically, we don't want you to get any sun blisters. So SPF 50 or higher is always good to have in your little emergency kit. And for field day, because there's a lot of aluminum and stuff on the ground, make sure that you've got good shoes. Now, you don't have to have the reinforced or metal covering your toes, but make sure you don't have anybody at field day working with wires and stuff and they're wearing flip-flops. Negative. You want to make sure that everybody's going to be very safe around field day. And a good pair of gloves, is good for field day. I like these real heavy ones because not only are they good for keeping my hands from getting stubbed on sharp objects in case I should contact anything that has a little bit of voltage on them, I want to make sure that it's not going to contact my fingers directly. We're planning on doing some 10 gigahertz, and this is the sign that we normally put up there, and that is talking about the radiation danger. So make sure that at field day, if you've got antennas that are close to the deck where someone could get too close to them and exceed the RF radiation amounts, make sure that you've got them well signed and well marked. And for heaven's sake, be sure that on all your guidelines have little tails on them, and make sure they don't blow off in the wind, because at nighttime, it's sometimes very hard. So that's why we use white for our guidelines coming down, and we always want to make sure that we're protecting our feet where they're anchored into the ground. Other things for field day that have led our station to great success are the bandpass filters, and these you can get through DX Engineering, one per band. So if you've got an operation in the evening on 75 or 80 meters, make sure they've got a bandpass filter to keep them out of some of the other bands. These are not low pass. They're not high pass. They are band pass. And outside about 500 to maybe a kilohertz, they actually act as a stop band. So a good bandpass filter is good to have. Of course, tools. But you got to know whose tools are whose when you're packing up. So at field day, all of my stuff, including my equipment, have a little yellow tag on there. And that way I know whose tool it is. And if you're doing beam antennas, as you well know, the beam antennas many times have long bolts. And unless you have a deep socket wrench, you're going to find that it's going to bottom out. You won't be able to go any further. So make sure that if someone's planning on using the nut driver, that they're aware that they're only going to get that much, and then they've got to go to something that's going to be a little deeper. So deep sockets are very handy. And at field day, I wind my own, and this is what I do to keep any stray RF from floating around and getting folks into trouble that might hit a hot chassis. And I well ground with copper foil all of our grounding points. And, of course, you got to have duct tape. Nothing beats duct tape. Most important, of course, again, are the safety glasses. These are critical. Even dark glasses that are plastic lenses will sort of suffice, but I would recommend the ANSI safety glasses. Now, not just necessarily for the fellow that with a carefully inspected safety belt is going to go to the top of a tower and so on. Certainly, they should have protective equipment, but everybody on the ground with safety glasses. And I'll tell you why. First of all, safety glasses won't help in this situation, but the mobile antennas, which some of you are planning on using HF mobile, the mobile antennas at the tip of the antenna, you've got to be careful because this is where the major voltage node is. And we'll show you, and I hope it doesn't knock me off of Skype, but here is about 100 watts of RF. This is sort of a modified setup I have here, but it is RF, and you can see what happens with something that is about an inch away, and you can hear it, and yep, that's the real stuff, and that's going to get someone in trouble if they should accidentally contact the RF. So keep everybody away from anything that could bite them. The radio frequency emission is not going to kill them. It's just going to give them a nasty 100-watt burn. But nonetheless, it's something you want to be very cautious about. Now, we always have a lot of kids on field day, and the kids are with the beam antennas, many times doing direction finding. But, you know, there's something about waving these antennas around that my ophthalmologist says, you should say something about this on Ham Nation. I'm a ham too, and it's important to know that your eyeball is of the same consistency and the same fragility, that's like fragile, as a ripe grape. So on a ripe grape, if we are, whoa, look at that, went right through the antenna. That's your eyeball through that antenna. So you've got to be careful and make sure that you don't have kids swinging the antennas or even adults swinging those big antennas and getting folks in trouble. Now, here's another one. This is common. Stay tuned, everybody. The tie wraps. Yeah, nothing more than a plain old plastic tie wrap, either white or black, and we use them all over the place on field day. Let's take a look at what happens to an eyeball and a tie wrap that goes into, accidentally, the eyeball, and as you can see, it goes in quite nicely. Yeah, that's somebody's eye. So be careful that after you tie up whatever you're going to tie up with your tie wraps, that you don't have that end just waiting for someone to get it stuck in their eye. Very, very critical to watch that. And finally, the ophthalmologist says, well, I sure hope you'll tell them about the conductivity of the human body, mainly the heart, inside the chest cavity. And that's where we talk about voltage. And now you've got to be careful around voltage. And many times we have more than 12 volts hanging around a field day site. So today we're going to impale what would be similar to the human body with nothing more than about 100 volts. And we want you to see what occurs at 100 volts pass through the consistency of the human body. And as we do, we want you to be thinking at field day, maybe you've got a generator that's running and you're in your bare feet and the field is damp. If you're hot and sweaty, you might live because the current coming in the hand that you're accidentally holding onto one side of the 110 will pass on the outside skin and out through your feet. And while you'll feel a 60 hertz buzz and a lot of pain, you'll live. But if you're not hot and sweaty, that energy is going to say, boy, I need a low resistance path to get down to his feet touching the wet grass. And if that occurs, it's going to pass through the inside of your body. And when that occurs, there you go. As you can see, that is your body with 100 volts passing through the inside, and it will continue to go because you're not able to let go. So don't let this be you. Steer clear of any field day voltage that could pass through and travel, unfortunately, inside your body. So this is not really scare techniques, but probably I would say protective glasses are the most vital part of field day for those of you working antennas or even putting up wire antennas. I can't tell you, and this is my 50th year of field day, how close I've come from, whoa, that antenna just about got me. Wear those protective lenses and you will be safe around field day. Because next week we want to hear your field day stories. And Dan says he wants to see field day clips. But Dan says not the clips of someone working DX or 2 meters that open with sporadic key. He wants to see funny clips of things that just go haywire. Somebody that takes their hydrating colas. I can't even find mine now. And oh, there it is. I got it. Taking their hydrating colas, taking a swig, and putting it on top of someone's transceiver where somebody knocks it over. That's the kind of stuff that we hope doesn't happen. But if it does, get it on video for Dan. And Dan's looking for your videos. So, Don, I'm going to turn it over back to you. I've got my DX Engineering hat ready, my ICOM cap ready as well. But DX Engineering is where I was doing my last-minute shopping, and boy, they got stuff to me like they sent it out the night before. Yep. So here we are, Don, live and direct, Don, for the wrap-up of the Ham's biggest event of the year, and that is Field Day this weekend. Don?
Before we get into that, I didn't know you had the medical background. I also was an EMT for a brief and glorious moment, and I'm so glad that you brought up the whole safety aspect of this. It's a great idea to have somebody on your field day team who is medically trained in some way. And also something to think about. It's too late to do this now for this year's field day, but a great club activity is to contact the American Red Cross and have CPR training. Literally, you will save lives doing that. So,
absolutely
safety conscious. Good stuff. Thank you, Gordon. Awesome stuff. Appreciate the safety stuff. And DX Engineering, this is where you want to go for all of your field day stuff. And we are literally hours away from field day. So it's time for one last check to see if you're fully prepared to make it as outstanding as it possibly can be and as you want it to be. And DX Engineering has everything you need, from antenna analyzers to equipment racks. Here are three ideas to make operation easier and boost performance. The Rig Expert Antenna Analyzer. It's an invaluable tool for checking antennas and feed lines for field day or any day, really. Choose from several models, frequency ranges as broad as 0.1 to 1400 megahertz. You can test coaxial cable assemblies. You can measure capacitance or inductance of reactive loads. You can drastically cut down on precious antenna adjustment time. That gives you more operating time. Simple battery-powered operation and a big display makes them easy to use out in the field as well. You get a graphic representation of SWR, impedance, loss, and a whole lot more. And you can simplify your portable field day setup with Pro 2 equipment racks from iPortable. These Pro 2 rack systems combine a rugged travel and flight case with a DC power distribution point speaker and rack shelving. They have plenty of room for you to include a radio or two, plus a power supply and a tuner. Front panel contains volume controls, coax plugs, fuse panels, USB ports, power poles, and a headphone jack, compatible with virtually any radio setup, and it is sharp looking. That's part of the field day thing, too. When the public or your local government comes out, you want to look as professional as you possibly can, and look at that. Man, that is pro stuff right there. And they're, like I said, compatible with virtually any radio setup, available in 4 to 6 rack units. And DX Engineering is the authorized e-antenna distributor in North America. That's great news if you're looking for an exceptional multiband wire antenna for field day. The EA multiband wire antennas are arranged in a fan-style design, allows each band dipole to remain separate from the others. It makes it ideal for packing multiple wire antennas into the space typically required for just one. Solid construction, they feature high-strength polycarbonate insulators and an SO239 feedline connector. All the good stuff. DX Engineering carries these multi-fan dipoles in 2-band, 4-band, and 5-band versions, covering 80 to 10 meters. You know, DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. So if you get your order in tonight, you very well could get it for field day. Proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog. Shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. While you're at it, make sure you get one of these catalogs, because you're going to want to have this laying around at field day too, because not only can you look stuff up, there's some good advice in here too. There's all kinds of great stuff. So this is always something nice to have on your field day countertop there for folks to come by and pick up and look at, because again, it's all about making a great impression. Let's take a listen now to Amateur Radio Newsline, and we'll get the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2120, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. Do you have field day fever yet? If you're hearing this report in Australia, a fair distance from the ARRL event of the same name, the answer is probably yes.
Hey, don't look now, but we're barely a week away from field day. No, not the summer contest going on in that other hemisphere. Here in Australia, it's a winter event known as VHF-UHF Field Day, and hams are gearing up for it on the 23rd and 24th of June. The competition promotes amateur operation on VHF and microwave bands, as well as portable operation, or, as the Wireless Institute of Australia puts it, head for the hills. Hams can even move location to location to pick up extra points throughout the contest. The 24-hour operation does not exclude home stations either. They simply have their own section for competition. Field day does preclude operation making use of satellites or repeaters. Work at simplex or not at all. Although the first VHF-UHF field day was a test undertaken in January of 1989, winter VHF-UHF field day came along much later, and this year marks its 10th year. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
with Dayton Hamvention and Friedrichshafen behind us, Michelle Carey, W5MQC, tells us about big plans being made by an amateur radio group in which YLs help YLs.
The club has actually been around since 1939. It started with an ad in QST magazine where one YL was looking for where are all the other YLs. The response to that ad was 12 ladies, and that was the, what they're calling the founding mothers.
Carey said that the group holds a convention every 3 to 4 years at various locations around the country.
The convention is going to take place in the Sheridan Hotel in downtown Oklahoma City. We're going to have Rhea and 2RJ. She's going to talk to us all about digital modes. Andrea Slack, K2EZ, is going to get us all rovering. Our banquet keynote speaker, Nancy Hall, the research scientist with NASA, Carol Malazzo, KP4MD. She's going to get us all ready to go on a remote vacation with our de-expedition. Also have some IL miring sessions where we can all get together and help each other. We're going to have some testing sessions, and we're going to have a little fun.
Carey said that men can attend the convention, but that they must accompany a licensed woman. The focus is primarily on YLs. So, if all of this sounds fun to you, please check out the convention's website at www.ylrlconvention.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Atlantic hurricane season began on June 1st, and preparedness is on everyone's minds in that region. The Dominican Republic is taking no chances. It's reaffirming its partnership with HAMS.
In the Dominican Republic, which has seen its share of weather disasters, Radio Club Dominicano has signed an agreement with Dominican Civilian Defense. The May 30th pact cements the relationship between the two, ensuring enhanced cooperation during emergencies. The two will work together with Dominican Civil Defense, relying on the Radio Club for emergency communications during disaster response. The club notes that the agreement comes just as the Atlantic hurricane season gets underway. The Dominican Republic was among the places devastated last year during Hurricanes Irma and Maria. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Andy Morrison, K9AWM, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have multiple new active regions on the Earth facing sun right now, which is great news for you amateur radio operators and emergency responders who are prepping for field day. And we might just get another chance for a mini solar storm like we had last week for your aurora photographers. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week is really picking up. We have multiple active regions on the Earth facing sun right now. You can count them. 1, 2, 3, 4 regions. This is boosting solar flux to levels that we haven't seen all year. So you amateur radio operators and emergency responders, I know you're prepping for field day, and this is fantastic news because this is boosting the solar flux comparatively to levels that really don't concert with solar minimum conditions. So it's wonderful. So you should enjoy some decent radio propagation on Earth's day side. Now, you aurora photographers, do you see this kind of remnant coronal hole, this dark region here? This might actually give us some fast wind and sporadic pockets, not a lot of strong fast wind. So it might only give us maybe active conditions if we're lucky, but it could give us some aurora at high latitudes, maybe over the next week. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see back on June 9th was when we first saw that X-ray flux and by proxy the solar flux ramp up due to region 2713 as it rotated into Earth view. Now, since then, the X-ray flux has kind of slowly been ramping up. That's because we've had new regions rotating into Earth view, and we've also had two regions kind of emerge on the sun's surface. And that has boosted solar flux. We are now sitting at the B floor, which is so fantastic considering this is supposed to be a solar minimum sun. So radio propagation is going to be great this week. These conditions should last pretty much through the weekend before things begin to die down just a little. And I Consider it a gift for Field Day. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating that big coronal hole to rotate into the Earth's strike zone a little bit later this week. At high latitudes, NOAA's expecting unsettled conditions, but we could get some active conditions right around the 23rd with even a possibility of a minor storm at high latitudes. So aurora is definitely possible. At mid latitudes, we're still only expecting unsettled conditions with only about a 25% chance of active conditions. So your aurora chasers at mid-latitudes, don't expect all that much from this coronal hole. For a bigger storm that's going to give you much better chance, we're going to have to wait for a little bit more than a week for that fast wind from that bigger coronal hole to rotate into position and give us a decent chance for aurora. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to solar flares, although we do have multiple numbered regions on the Earth-facing disk right now. This is fantastic news because it's bumping the solar flux up back into the 80s. My gosh, when have we seen the 80s? I think we had to go back to last year sometime. So this is fantastic news for your amateur radio operators and emergency responders who are prepping for field day. In fact, one of these regions, 2715, has actually been popping a few mini solar flares. So you might actually hear that on Earth's day side, hear some noise in the bands. Don't worry, it's not your gear. It's just the sun. And it's going to, these conditions will continue easily through the weekend and early into early next week before things begin to die down a little bit. So all I can say is enjoy. Space weather this week has really picked up. We have four bright regions on the Earth-facing sun right now that have boosted the solar flux back up into the 80s. We haven't seen conditions like this since pretty much last year. So you amateur radio operators and emergency responders who are participating in field day, enjoy this boosted radio propagation for all of your exercises. I know it's going to help. And you might hear even a little bit of flare noise on the band, so don't worry, it's not your equipment. Now, you GPS operators, you're probably not quite as happy about the boosted solar flux, especially at low latitudes, because I know that affects GPS reception for you folks. So be careful around dawn and dusk. You might have some glitches here and there, but pretty much only at low latitudes. Now, you aurora photographers, well, you got a nice chance for aurora, at least at high latitudes, just this past week. And it looks like around the 23rd, you'll get another chance, small chance for aurora. We might get a little mini solar storm. It may not be as much as what you got last week, but, you know, keep your batteries charged. And then expect a bigger solar storm coming in a little bit more than a week that could easily give us aurora down to mid-latitudes. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always amazing information from Dr. T. And if you missed the announcement at the top of the show, she has her ham ticket now. She's Kilo Mike 6, Victor Charlie Oscar. That's not going to last, though. She's working on a vanity to go along with the whole space weather woman theme. But yes, Dr. T has her license. She said she was going to do it. She did it, and she aced it, of course. Like we thought, you know, she'd miss one or two. Actually, yeah, I told her, I said, I'm predicting 33 out of 35. And then she aced it. So, you know, I didn't want to put any pressure on her. But yeah, so she's one of us now. KM6VCO. Thank you, Dr. T. Let's take a look and see what Valerie has for us now, continuing on the field day theme.
Hello, everyone. Well, in the theme of field day, I brought the ultimate field day group. They do the massive field day setup. Called Whiskey 3 Alpha Oscar. And I brought the two lead guys who help plan and organize this event every year. So we're going to welcome Raul, K3RA, and Frank Donovan, Whiskey 3 Lima Papa Lima. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Val.
Hello, Val.
Hi. So for a lot of you, you may have seen these pictures out on the internet or their videos. They've done the really super large field day events. And sometimes I think the highest one I heard of was 23 Alpha. Is that correct? Or have you been a larger event than that?
Much bigger, 51.
51 Alpha, oh my God. I should try and get pictures of that for everybody. Why don't you give us a brief history on Whiskey 3 Alpha Oscar?
Well, W3AO started with not much plans for 21 years, which we're on right now. We just got together in the backyard of KE3Q, Rich Boyd, and a bunch of us just had stopped having any regular place to go for field day. So we said, well, let's do it in Rich's backyard. We threw a lot of antennas up. We had a lot of operators. We entered 4A, and we finished second in the country overall in the top 10. So we said, well, this is fun. So the next year we did 7A and won for the country, and we've won for the country ever since.
Whatever winning means at field.
Whatever winning means at field.
We had well, the highest. Right. And like they say, it's not a contest, but, you know, it is. And there's a shot of that T-shirt showing a lot of the wins. So that's pretty cool. What year was that, Raul, that you began with that other call sign before you started getting the Whiskey 3 Alpha Oscar?
Well, you started at W3AO from the beginning. It was 1998.
So it's fairly new. So the largest class, wow, 51 Alpha, my God. So what class are you guys going to do this year?
We're going to be 15A this year.
15, so a little more manageable, but still a lot of work.
It's actually not different.
Huh?
It's the same amount of HF equipment we had even when we were a 51A, but all of the microwave and light and all that other stuff has been stripped away.
Okay. So how many people do you need to pull off a 15 alpha to make it run successful?
Well, people who actually contribute to the event in one way or the other, it's usually 60 to 70. And the actual people who show up at the site with all the guests we have is usually over 100.
100 people. That's a lot of people to feed, too, because I love field day food, and I'm always looking forward to that. But so to do this, you have to have an antenna crew, and you have to have lots of antennas. And here's some few antenna shots from some of your prior field days. So how many antennas are you putting up this year, then? Are they all monobanders? You're going to have?
They're all, for the HF bands, they're all monobanders. So we have four stations on 20 meters. We have a single sideband station, a CW station, a RIDI station, and a GOTA station, all on 20. They do not interfere with each other because we use a site that's 1,000 feet long, so we can operate four stations on the same band with no trouble whatsoever. And we follow a similar theme on the other bands. So three monobanders on 15, two monobanders on 10. VHF is pretty simple. So
two monobanders on 40.
And do you use filters at all? Do you need filters? Or with your spacing, you're good?
So here's what we do. One of the worst things that can happen to any field day group is for people to bring equipment to the site and have it get damaged. That really, it's very difficult to get those people back in the future. So we use filters, most importantly, to be absolutely sure that we're not going to damage anyone's equipment. So we have monoband filters on every one of the HF transmitters, mainly to protect them.
That's good. And what kind of power? I mean, how many generators do you need, or do you have one massive generator to power all these stations?
We have our own electric company. K3EJJ has taken on the full responsibility for every aspect of electric power generation and distribution. It's very clever what he has done. He acquired power plants from large camper vehicles. They're very reliable power plants. He's got three of them that he brings out to the site. One is a primary and two is backups. And all the electric distribution, he just comes to the site, sets it all up, and runs it for the whole weekend.
And he has a brother who's in the air conditioning business. So he has, for the VHF tent, which is his personal thing, he has air conditioning. So we have an air conditioned VHF
tent. And here's a shot of that tent with air conditioning to the tent. That's pretty cool. That much power, does he use a fuel bladders or somebody's? I mean, it just seems like you'd be going through power like crazy with that many setups.
We make sure our field day site is adjacent to a gasoline station.
All right.
Think of everything.
A lot of the magic is the location. It took us a while to settle on this place, but we've been going there for, I guess, 15 years now. And what we needed to find was a pretty remarkable place. We wanted a place that had a 1,000-foot line which ran north-south, so we could set our antennas up, all pointing west along a north-south line. That's not easy. That's like more than 3 football fields long. So, and on top of that, we wanted it to be mowed and well-tended. So we wanted it to be near gas stations and hardware stores
and near W3LPL so you could get anything you needed quick.
Right, and the public where people could come find us very easily. So we found this magic spot thanks to the Howard County, Maryland Department of Education, and they have 2 schools, a middle school and an elementary school, that are next to one another, and they share this huge lot. And we get the space between them every year. They're nice enough to let us go out there and put our towers up, 2 rows of towers along 1,000-foot long.
That's wonderful. It helps to have your community help out, and especially when they see the value of ham radio. And so with having that many stations and that many radios and things set up, that many people to manage, what do you think has been the biggest challenge for you guys for field day?
The weather, probably.
That you can't control.
That's right.
You have to be ready for it.
Right.
We've been very lucky. We probably the 20 years we've done it already, we probably only had rain of substantial amount, maybe 3 times.
You remember the wind where we had the struggle to keep the tents up?
Yeah, we had to hold the tents down with people.
Well, at least it wasn't a tornado like you had at your antenna farm, Frank, and hopefully that will never happen again. So do you have any, I know a lot of clubs out there are struggling for membership and struggling to get people to show up for field day. What's your secret to get all these people, you know, 50-100 people to show up and operate field day? What's your advice you would give to these clubs?
Other clubs should do this. I don't think many do it, but we have 2 clubs that have been working together this whole time. And one of them is the largest club in the county and probably one of the largest in the state.
500 members.
Potomac Valley Radio Club is a multiple state, and their contest club, and of course it has many, many members. And then the Columbia Amateur Radio Association, who also works with us, is a kind of a general, typical ham club, and they're very involved in emergency communications and satellite communications.
They've got the site for us.
They do the site. They bring the spotter pot, very important. So they provide probably 20 or 30 people, and then the Potomac Valley Radio Club provides another 20 or 30.
Yeah.
Plus, I teach every year at the National Electronics Museum. I teach ham courses, so I always invite my new hams out to be at the GOTA station. So we usually have 25 to 30 operators at the GOTA station.
You have people lined up to operate.
Yeah, and then those GOTAs from this year will become next year's operators, right?
Well, 2 of them are running the GOTA station this year.
Oh, see, there you go. So just try and get people interested where you can, and try and get encourage the new hams to come out. And because I know a lot of the clubs around here, they try and do field day, and they struggle to get the people to show up. So it's good to, you know, be able to pool from several clubs and maybe combine the efforts. So that would probably be a good idea as well. I thank you, gentlemen, for showing up today. I know you guys have a lot of work, and I know you have a lot to prepare for. And I hope you guys have a good field day.
Work us on all bands.
That's right. Thank you,
Val. We will. We're 2 Alpha. We'll get you.
QSL.
You guys, thank you.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Val. Appreciate you bringing that to us. Field day is just, I mean, of course, it's the biggest thing of the year, ham radio-wise, right outside of, you know, the big ham fest like Dayton and Friedrichshafen. But everybody has fun with field day. We're having fun in the chat room as well. Amanda is taking your questions. We'll check with her in the chat room a little bit later on. George is standing by with Smoke and Solder, and we'll get to that right after this word from ICOM.
Calling all stations.
Make sure you grab your ICOM gear for the most popular on-air event, Field Day, June 23rd and 24th. Let ICOM help you make the most contacts or practice for emergency situations. The SDR every ham wants, the IC7610, and it's just in time for Field Day. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent channels. The new ICOM 7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling system, 110 dB RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Don't forget to bring along the perfect Field Day companion, the IC7300. Ideal for the ham on the go, it's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The sky's no limit for the IC9100. It's an all-in-one HF, VHF, UHF rig. No matter if you're working DXQSOs, RIDI, D-Star DV, satellite, or even moonbounce, ICOM's years of experience is working along with you. Independent dual receivers, satellite mode, built-in antenna tuner, and digital IF filter. Learn more about all the great ICOM radios for Field Day. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win some great swag prizes. They've got T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, you'll be registered for the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For June, it's the ID31A+, a great entry-level D-Star handheld. It's a UHF transceiver with IPX7 waterproof rating. It's got the new terminal mode and access point mode that enables you to make D-Star calls through the internet, even from areas where there's no D-Star repeater available. It's got DV fast data mode, DV and FM repeater search function, and more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And tonight, Smoke and Solder, we're going to cut it kind of short because we've had a full show and we're getting close to the end here. A couple of things I do want to mention, though. The QuadNet has been working with ARRL to bring digital voice into the mix of Field Day this year. And they're using their QuadNet array to help ham stay in touch with each other, share stories about how things are going for Field Day as well, and coordinate HF digital voice activity. Take part in that. You go to one of the QuadNet smart groups for D-Star. That's D-Star 1 in New York, D-Star 2 in San Francisco, or D-Star 3 in Ohio. Or you can go to the X-Reflectors, XRF-757A in Atlanta, XLX-049D in Northern Ireland, and XL-8-307D in Wyoming, or the Brandmeister DMR Talk Group, 31012. And Jeff Bishop, VE6DV, brought us that information. And you can learn more about OpenQuad or QuadNet at openquad.com. I got a website there. All the information about what it is that they do. Okay, I got an email from Fred Dietrich, AE0FD, and he wanted to mention a couple of tips for Field Day. He said years ago he got a slingshot and open casting reel to shoot lead sinkers up into the trees to pull a line through for antennas. He liked the 3/4-ounce sinkers. I generally use about the 1 ounce. Sometimes we use a little heavier than that. But he said he liked the 3/4. They seem to go through the foliage well. He learned a couple of tricks from Corey, KC0YNS. And the first one is use 50-pound stranded fishing line versus the number 20 that came loaded on his reel. Now, the 50-pound line makes a big difference. If you've got 20 pounds, you good chance you're going to snag something and break it in that tree. But 50 should get you on through and allow you to pull your real antenna cable up. And this is a good tip here that that we use this year. You take your lead weight, put a piece of white nylon cord on it. I didn't have white. We used yellow. Then tie that to your fishing line. When you shoot that through the tree, you can look up and find that weight a lot easier, because I tell you, trying to find that in the, you know, 50 or 60 feet up in the air, you're not hardly going to see it on fishing line, but makes a big difference having that little piece of string there. And one other thing he mentioned is, you know, those orange extension cord reels that you can get at Walmart or Home Depot or almost anywhere, those are great to roll up your antenna support lines on. You could get 500 feet of Dacron cord on there, or nylon, or whatever you're using. It makes it real easy to reel in or reel out. So thanks for those tips, Fred. Those were some help for this year at Field Day. One tip I will give you, I was at Walmart, and I don't have a rod and reel anymore. And I saw this little Shakespeare kids reel here. And I said, boy, this would be just perfect for Field Day to use for shooting up in the tree with a slingshot. Well, turns out when you roll up 50-pound test line on this thing, it doesn't want to pay out very well. So stay away from the kids' rods and reels. Even if it is a name brand, it's probably not what you need. Now, this week's winner of the Smoke and Solder contest, I'd ask everyone last week what they were going to do for Field Day. And I got a few good answers, but one kind of came to the top of the pile here. This is from Robert Austin, K-E-0-O-H-H, and incidentally, he's over in the chat room right now. He said, George, this Field Day will be very special for me. First of all, he's a retired broadcast engineer. He's spent many years, had a wonderful career in television at KTVU-TV in Oakland and San Francisco market. He worked in all areas of master control. He did telesign production, one and two-inch videotape, and also the automatic cartridges, live and production audio, camera technical director, video operations, stand-up editing, and he ran a 2 gigahertz receive and transmitter link. He said he had a first-class FCC ticket, and of course that was grandfathered into GROL, General Radio Operator's License. Last August, he passed his technician and general tests at the Western Colorado Amateur Radio Club in Grand Junction. And then the next month, he passed his extra. And he went all these years as a broadcast engineer, very similar to my career. I was a broadcast engineer for years before I became licensed as a ham. But he finally got licensed, and just after the eclipse this past year, he bought an IC7000 and a Howell HM12 package. And now here's what's special about Field Day for him. He hasn't transmitted yet. So this will be the first time he's ever got on the air. I'm sure he's listened, but he hadn't made any contacts yet. So Field Day, he's going to go out with the Western Colorado Amateur Radio Club, on location, Whitewater, Colorado, and he's looking forward to a really big time. He says, although he operated 50 to 60 megahertz at 100 kW, serving 7 million people, he considers Field Day a great setup, and he's really looking forward to it. And, he said, if anyone tops his entry in the contest, well, certainly they deserve it. Well, that's hard to top, Robert. We had some great entries in there this time around, but that one right there kind of caught my eye. So we're going to send you a copy of the Howell Ham Radio Handbook from Bob. It's a Great book, all kinds of amateur radio and electronics information in here that you could really use. It's very handy to have around the shack because there's a lot of good data in here, and you're going to enjoy it. For next week, well, I've got something else we're going to give away here. It's the MFJ Guardian Angel Surge Suppressor, MFJ 270. They make it two different ways, either with SO239s to fit your PL259s or type N's. This one I've got here has the SO239s on. It's a little gas block surge suppressor that will help keep static and lightning from coming in your rig and damaging it. They're good from, depending on the model, if you get the PL259s, from DC to 100 megahertz, actually with either one, and they'll cover 400 watts PEP, or they've got a model that'll cover 1500 watts PEP. So thanks for that, MFJ, the MFJ 270. If you want to win that, send me an email and tell me what was the most excitement that you had at Field Day this year. We'll be looking for a great story there. And next week, we'll send somebody a surge suppressor. We hope it's not because a rig got damaged by lightning. But, just send me your most interesting Field Day story, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And now let's get Amanda in here. I know she's probably got some Field Day questions for us tonight. Oh, one other thing before we go to Amanda, I almost forgot. We've got a special video here from some of the guys at DX Engineering. They posted a lot of videos on their site this year, and this one in particular kind of caught our attention here. It's some great tips for Field Day.
Field Day is the largest operating event in the U.S. and Canada, with over 40,000 operators getting on the air. Field Day will be June 23rd and 24th this year. We're really excited here at DX Engineering, and here's why we care about Field Day.
My first Field Day was in 1995, and I was with the Cuyahoga Falls Club at the time. And we were put on the 10-meter station. There was two of us that were brand new to it. And we were just knocking out some calls during the daytime. Of course, being so new to ham radio, we didn't know that 10 meters dies at night. So we spent all night long and didn't make any contacts because of propagation on 10 meters. We didn't know. We were newbies. Well, as the years have gone by now, I belong to the PCARS, Portage County Amateur Radio Service, and teamwork is a big deal when it comes to field day. We actually have a pre-field day meeting, and we get everybody together, we get all the gear together, and we actually set up as if we're doing field day. So there's no surprises when field day weekend hits. We've got a person that's in charge of the entire field day. We have another one's in charge of getting all the antennas set up. We have an antenna crew that goes from station to station to station. And then we have somebody in charge of the food. This year we're going to have some stuff brought in. But the majority, and we're also having people bring in food on their own, too, you know, for snacks in the middle of the night to keep the guys going. And it's a lot of fun. And we always look forward to it every year. And then we also have our own power. We have a power crew. He brings a 25-kilowatt generator. And it doesn't matter what happens. We've been doing this for over 10 years now with PCARS, and we've seen just about everything. And so we've got it down pat pretty good. But what the real fun is when we get the new people in and we get them involved in it. And then they start to have fun. And then this carries on from year to year to year. You know, PCARS got to where it was at because of the members we have today and the members that started the club. But the future of PCARS and Field Day is going to be with the new people. So we got to bring them in, have fun, get on the air, and make lots of contacts. It's not a contest. Don't say that to a certain few people on our field day site, because they really, really go at it. We're hoping to have, as far as new people come in, well, during the year we do a lot of examinations and we bring new people into the club and try to get them psyched up for field day. So they're going to be there, but we also have people that are involved with the local schools and the Boy Scouts and we encourage them to bring them in, because we're going to have the Get on the Air, which is called GATA, and we're going to get them on the air to make some contacts too and have some fun. Not only voice, but also the new digital modes, because some of them are really mic fright. You know, they're afraid to say anything into the microphone. But, you know, if you're doing a digital mode, it's all on the computer, so they really dive into it and they have a lot of fun. It seems now that the newbies, as they're called, our younger generation, is they're really interested in the digital modes. And you can talk around the world on just a couple of watts of power. You don't need a superstation to talk around the world on digital. And we've got one member in the club that's got a small dipole in his attic because he can't put up any antennas outside. And he's been so excited working FT8, the digital mode. He's talked to Australia using 3 watts of power, and that's nothing. Doesn't bother anybody's fire alarms or TVs or anything, and he's having a ball. So the new kids that are coming up, they're all used to their phones and everything else and all the digital things, and then they're just falling right into this, and they're having a lot of fun. People that are entering the hobby now, there's a lot of retired people that are getting back into it that maybe had some fun with it when they were young or looking for something else to do. Now, the newbies that are getting into it, and then also they're young. So, again, it goes back to the, you know, want something to do and give back to the community, because amateur radio is the amateur radio service. And if you've seen, I'm sure you've seen over the in the news, you know, everything that went down in Puerto Rico. Emergency communications, that's what ham radio is all about. When all else fails, amateur radio works.
And thanks for that message there from DX Engineering. Very interesting. Yeah, if your first year out, if you're not going with some experienced folks, you could end up not really making any contacts if the band's not open, and particularly if you tried to work 10 meters at night. Well, Amanda, let's get on in here now and see if you've got some announcements and some questions.
I do. My biggest, I don't know what this is. I think it's a rant towards you, George. A man without a rod and reel is like the man getting his pickle fried on field day.
Well, Gordo will not be around. I've got to confess, my father broke me from fishing when we were young. He used to really like to fish, and we would go set out trot lines on the Big Black River, and which is, you know, got fairly swift current to it, and we'd do it every summer at least once or twice. He never had a boat motor that would work, so we always had to paddle. So that ended my fishing days right there.
I truly understand not having a boat motor that works. I've been rescued off of a lake several times, me and Jeff have, and it's all right. We'll send you one. All right. So now that I'm blushing more than George for saying that, I couldn't help it, really. Let's see. I've got a couple of things here, a couple of announcements before we get to some field day stuff here. First of all, KB9EWG, he wants us to know he got his mixed and digital DXCC today. Woohoo! Not only that, he did it on an antenna comprised for his apartment. Apartment, you guys. That means no beam, no high power, most likely. He just did it. I don't know how long it took him to do it, but congratulations, because that's some super fantastic work. All right. Also, we're going to have a special event coming up for celebrating Hurricane Maria. Sorry, I can get that out. And Andy KP4AAN, who was part of the Force of 50, is helping put this together. And listen for K1M, and that's going to be in September, a year after. And I hope everyone works some. And thankfully, he reached out to me, and I get to design their QSL cards, so you know it's going to be cool. Okay. This is a very important question, and this comes from KC8RLU. He says, what is your favorite menu for field day? First of all, I have to say ours is the taco bar on Saturday night. I mean, I can't get over that. So, Gordo, what's your favorite go-to food for field day?
food. We need food, whether it's hamburgers or hot dogs or tacos. Food for those that are putting out all the efforts for field days. Occasionally, you'll get field day visitors that want something to do, yet they don't want to get on the air. So send them on a burger run, and the operators will really enjoy munching away while operating.
Absolutely. And there are those people that enjoy doing the food prep. Sometimes it's just an all for themselves kind of thing, but I love all the meals on field day. All right. Speaking more field day stuff, I want to put out a couple of tips out there for you guys. I know that once you're in field day and you're behind the radio and you've got the Pro 7s on and you're banging it out, making all those contacts, and then all of a sudden you see all these visitors showing up behind you and you're getting all weirded out, like, who's standing behind me? Kind of have a designated person to greet those people. It's really important to greet your visitors.
Precisely.
You got to be able to have someone that's there that can take them to all the stations and explain what's going on, whether they're working CW or RIDI or PSK or now FT8, or just on phone and explain how it's working. And yeah, you don't want to interrupt the person that's operating, but hopefully you as an operator will stop and say hi just real quickly. Because you don't want to isolate your visitors. I've seen that happen one too many times, and it's really awkward and weird. So, Gordo, obviously you agree with me on that one, right?
Boy, I sure do. And that's why you want to have that speaker Y connection so that the visitors can hear the accent of the station you're working in, Canada, or hear some of the sounds behind field day. So get that speaker going. Your main operator won't even know it. They've got the headphones on, but those looking over their shoulder as a visitor will really appreciate hearing the other side. You're right, Amanda. Get a designated visitor greeter.
Absolutely. And when you were talking about safety, Gordo, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about is that did you all know that there's 100 points for having a safety officer at your site for field day? That's right. There's a thing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. A lot of extra 100 points. Just read the ARRL rules and you'll see, wow, you can really rack up 1,000 points just by doing a few extra things before field day begins.
Exactly. Another one is social media. So I want you guys all, guys and gals, I want you to take your pictures. And even though I'm going to be in Timbuktu and I might not be able to have cell phone service, please send your pictures to our Facebook page during your field day activities. We would love to see them. And it's going to get you those social media points. And that's 100 points. And what we would really love to see, Dan, I think Dan would love to put this video together, is your before and after pictures of field day. So there's a great one of Katie Allen, WY7YL, last year, and she's so chipper and so happy for the event to start. And then by Sunday at 1 p.m., she's looking like a meth addict. I love her to death, but it was really just truly funny. So please send those to us. We'd love to have them. All right, let me see if there's anything else I have going on here. Don't forget Baker Island starts June 26th, right after field day. It's going to be a big one. Look for that. All right. Oh, one other thing. If you're going to have pets at your field day site, keep them contained. Don't let them jump on all of your guests. You know, do the right thing. My animals are wild and crazy, so don't take them with me. So other than that, let's talk about some nuts we got going on tonight. Unfortunately, W7UDI Steve was called out to a wildfire there, so he's not going to be able to run the 20-meter net. If anyone wants to pick up some chat there on around 14268, I'm sure some Ham Nation viewers would love to chat with you. We do have 7192 for the 40-meter net. Also, 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. Do drop in for the Echolink net, and don't forget the DMR net on TAC 311. With that, George, you're wrapping it up.
All right, Amanda, great stuff there. And boy, good to finally be here at the time of the year for field day. And really looking forward to that 103-degree heat index this field day. That's always a problem down here. There's just no avoiding it. Before we go, though, let's just make another quick trip around, see if anybody's got any last-minute information or tips there. Gordo, any last-minute info here?
No, I think it's going to be exciting. I can't wait for 10 meters and 6 meters to stay open like it was today and about a week ago. Yahoo! I'll meet everybody on 6 and 10. Back to you, George. And Amanda, best field day to you too as well. And Don, of course.
Okay, Don, any suggestions on pickle brands to bring to field day?
I would get the, well, if you're going to throw them, and they're going to make that arc over the tree and then hit the middle of the pavement on the jogging trail, I would suggest your generic pickle. Save a little bit of money. Everyone's on a field day budget. But one thing I would certainly suggest is be sure you call WTWW. We gave the phone number at the top of the show. If you still have that lower third, put that back up, Vic, because WTWW has the field day broadcast. And it's going to be on 99.30 from 2 until 7 o'clock Central Daylight Time. And you can call in with your field day report from your field day location, 833-390-5085. And it's going to be just an amazing time. Last year, I co-hosted a couple of hours of that with Ted, and I may do that again this year if I'm not out doing something with field day or something else. We always have something going on. We've got a couple of birthdays going on that weekend always. So you never know what I'm going to be doing, but hopefully we'll hear you and your field day on WTWW. Again, the phone number 833-390-5085, and that will be Saturday from 2 to 7 o'clock CDT on 99.30 kilohertz. George?
Okay, Don, thanks. And look at field day this year for W5JDX. Tommy Wayne and I will be using my call this year, 3 Alpha. So, workers, we could use the points. We are never in any danger of displacing anybody on field day. We could use all the points we get. So, good news on the sunspots this year. Maybe we'll set a new record for us. Anyway, 7-3, we'll be having a wrap-up on all the fun we had at field day next week. 7-3.
7-3, I have two things. This is for Dr. T. Woo-hoo! Dr. T, sometimes it does take a rocket scientist to get your ham ticket. And this is for you, George. Have some pickles. Home canned pickles.
Okay. All right.
With some garlic and some pepper in there.
Have some hot pickles.